Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Let me pray before we start, because we all need prayer. Hallelujah. Let me put that over there as well, in case I bump into it. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that already you have been speaking to us by your Spirit. Already you are getting us to think about our perspective. Lord, how we look at things, Lord, are we spiritually minded or are we earthly minded? Do we see things from a heavenly perspective or an earthly perspective? Father, I'm asking you to give us wisdom and revelation this morning, and that you'd enlighten the eyes of our understanding to know this incredible hope to which we have been called. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone says?
Amen.
Amen. I don't like being up here. Am I okay to go down here? Matt, will it upset things if I go down by there? What do I look like down here? Yeah, okay, cool. Tall one, I think. Yeah. Let me recap on last week. If you weren't here last week, please, please take time to have a listen to the podcast. I believe it's uploaded on Facebook or wherever it is now, YouTube. I don't know, but it's there somewhere for you to look at it as well. We're still talking about laying foundations. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay except that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. And I wanted to talk about he who upholds everything. He who upholds everything. And in this message this morning, I'm going to challenge us to actually believe that we are all called to lay foundations. Every one of us is called to lay foundations. Recap. What are foundations? The lowest load-bearing part of a building, typically below ground level, so you cannot see it, but its presence is made evident by the strength and the stability of what is resting and relying upon it. So we don't see the foundation, but we see the result of the foundation being in place by an incredibly strong structure that is resting on it and relying on it. Also, it's the underlying basis or principle of an idea, an argument, or a process, also not visible. But the results can be seen of its presence by the successful outcome of its application. Whoever's walking in it. If you're walking in the foundational principles that have been laid down, you will come over as stable, strong, successful in your outcomes. That is what foundations are there to produce. We talked about the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus Christ, the beginning and the end. So before all time and at the end of time, if you want to look at it like that, Jesus was at the beginning of it all and he will be at the end of it all. And in between all that, Jesus Christ is doing stuff. He started and he will finish what he's done. It's the bit in between that affects us. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was the beginning of our existence, of the physical universe in which we live, our planet. So he created a physical universe, And in it, he threw stars and planets and comets and asteroids, galaxies. And they're all out there in the universe. We're sat on our blessed assurances in here today. And that universe out there is still working. I talked about the fact that Jesus put in place physical laws. Physical laws of gravity or magnetism or whatever it is you want to call it. But he put those laws in place so our earth is continually spinning on its axis. We have a moon around our earth which is spinning around the earth. It's all going like this. Then our earth and the moon is spinning around the sun like this, all cyclical. And then we're in the bigger galaxy, and I'm trying to do this now, so we're all in the bigger galaxy going around in like this. And the galaxy itself is spinning around in the universe. And all this is taking place without us knowing about it, because Jesus set the foundations in place. Jesus put them in place. Everything works because Jesus created the foundations necessary for it to work, and for us, the apple of his eye, to exist. Not only to exist, but to flourish. The heavens and the earth, he created a physical realm, he also created a spiritual realm. And in amongst all this creation, he created us. He breathed life into existence. So we became living beings, created with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And he put foundational principles in place in order for the body to thrive, in order for our souls to thrive, and in order for our spirits to thrive. Because the body needs nutrients, warmth, rest, clothing, all the rest of it. We need sleep, don't we? We need exercise. The body needs stuff. The soul needs stuff. The mind needs educating. The emotions need satisfying or gratifying. They need everything that God provides for the soul to survive, to flourish. And then our spirits actually need communion with our Creator. We need revelation from our Creator. For the spirit to thrive. And he put all those things in place for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a brand new species. The reason why we're a brand new species is because the Adamic race was infected by sin and separated from its Creator. So there was no communion in the spirit. And because the spirit is what gives life to the soul and the body began to die. Humanity began to die. It began to break down. So Jesus, having created the universe, the stars, the planets, the solar systems, the galaxies, all working, having created the earth, brought forth the land from the sea, divided the heavens from the earth, created vegetation, every tree for us to eat from. He created everything that we needed, but we were separated from God because of the sin that infected us. Jesus had to restore all things back to the original order, so he had to create a brand new species. There is no rescue for the Adamic race other than, hear my heart, hear my voice, the word of God, death. The old Adamic race has to die. It has to be born again. It has to start brand new. If you are not in the family of God, in the sense of if you have not received the forgiveness for the sin that separates us from him, he cannot restore us back to the original creation. In order for us to enter into a relationship with God, he has to kill the old us, and we have to be reborn into the new creature in Christ. So he did all that. In Hebrews 1:3, it says that Jesus upholds all things by the power of his word. He upholds all things. Upholds, he underpins, to carry and to bear. He is the foundational structure for everything to survive, to be built upon. So the new creation he created also needs a foundation to it. The Adamic creation, the old you and I, the non-born again, the non-saved person, the foundations have been undermined. There is no connection with the Creator. They're not built upon the foundations of the Creator. Therefore, we live in a broken, affected world. I talked briefly about the satanic scheme to undermine this Adamic race. As you know, Satan deceived Adam and Eve. They fell into sin. Adam took control. Sin affected Adam and Eve. They began to die. The whole of the human race then began to die because of that. What did Satan do? He undermined the foundational building blocks for humanity. A definition of to undermine is to erode the base or foundation of a rock formation. To erode it, to weaken it so that it starts to crack and eventually will crumble and whatever's on it will collapse. Satan done that. I don't know about what you were like before you were a Christian, but I know what I was like before I was a Christian. I was broken. My life was collapsing. And I needed Jesus in my life. I didn't know I needed the rock of my... I didn't know anything about this. All I knew was that I needed Jesus. So I received him, and then he began the work of reestablishing me on the rock upon which I can build my life. Satan's very clever, though. He doesn't want us to find Jesus. So what he did instead is he created 4,000 religions in this world today. 4,000 religions to choose from. You can pick whatever you want to make you happy. You can inherit whatever you want from your mum and dad, born into a certain religious culture. Fantastic. You've got a religion. Well, well done. 4,000 religions that will lead you away from Christ. Also, 7 major philosophies in the world. Quickly say them, because I feel really intelligent when I say these words. Wow. Metaphysics, axiology, logic, aesthetics, epistemology, ethics, and political philosophy. Thank you. Thank you, Gemma. She's normally the one heckling me. Or is that just sarcasm? Why I'm saying this is that human beings are constantly walking on a daily basis with voices crying out from 4,000 religions and 7 major philosophies to say, embrace me and build your life on me. And every one of them will lead to destruction. That's worth thinking about. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets reconciled back to the Creator except by him. So you can pray as much as you want to whatever idol you've got, whatever saints you believe in, or whatever anything you believe in, other than praying to Jesus Christ, who is the beginning and the end of all things, and in him all things are upheld and connect together. You've had it. It's a bold statement from somebody who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's either an absolutely psychotic, narcissistic liar, or he's telling the truth. Right, let me move on a little bit. You know what? I didn't start my timer again. I know, it's getting old hat now, isn't it? But I am actually telling the truth. Please believe me, I always forget. 3 hours, thank you. There you go. So what did Jesus put in place for his new creation to build their lives on? What did he put in place? He put all the physical laws in place to hold the universe together, to make it work. He put all that in place. He created humanity, but sin undermined the foundations of humanity, and humanity broke and is being crushed and falling apart. Then he builds a new creation through his death and resurrection on the cross. But this new creation needs a foundational basis on which to build itself. So what did Jesus put in place for the new creature? First of all, he put in place what we would call primary foundations. Primary foundations. I sometimes think that we get so blasé about our faith that when we hear things in church, we think, oh, not that again. I've heard this before. But God tells us through his word that if you don't know this stuff and build your life on it, you will not achieve what you were born and created to be. You will suffer loss. Primary foundations are there to support our position in Christ, our purpose in Christ, and our potential in Christ. From the beginning of our lives to the end of our lives. It starts from entrance into the kingdom. The primary foundations are the primary doctrines. Repentance. Faith toward God. Baptisms. Laying on of hands. Resurrection of the dead. Eternal judgment. These are primary doctrines. They start with repentance. And they take you right through your existence on this world, right to eternity. They are the doctrines that underpin the whole of the Christian faith. I won't go into it much now because there's a reason and a purpose for why I'm talking about this. Then you've got secondary foundations. These cover all the aspects of life here on earth, such as work, pleasure, gifting, function, finances, family, marriage, servanthood. They are secondary doctrines. They are essential to building those areas of our lives. If you don't have a foundation in place for your finances, for your family, for your marriage, for your work, then you are building on the wrong foundations. Now, these secondary foundations are not necessarily important when it comes to the unity of the body of Christ, because we will differ slightly on our interpretation of them. But the primary doctrines are essential for the unity in the body of Christ. I want to move on a little bit. So just to summarize what I've just said, the Alpha and the Omega, all has been established from the beginning to the end, but Satan sought to undermine what Jesus had created. All things were made by him, through him, and for him, by the way, Jesus. So he tried to undermine it. Jesus was always meant to be the rock upon which humanity built its life, its existence. He was always meant to be the rock. But sin separated that connection, so humanity crumbled and is continuing to crumble. So Jesus came back to do something. There. Our mandate is this. Jesus came to rebuild that foundation by reconciling humanity back to himself. He did it. He dealt with what was separating us by taking it upon himself and burying it, allowing him to forgive us for all our sins and set us free. He came to rebuild the foundation by reconciling humanity back to himself. He came to restore the foundations for our existence to flourish once again through discipleship. The restoration of those foundations come through discipleship. And then to renew our purpose, to rule and reign as we mature, hopefully, into spiritual beings with sharp discernment, with all wisdom and spiritual insight into the knowledge of God's will. So he came to rebuild, to restore, and renew. Jesus came to show us who our Heavenly Father truly is, with grace and truth, compromising Satan's goals as a liar, an accuser, a tempter, and a murderer. Jesus also came to show us that the kingdom, what the kingdom of God truly looks like in righteousness, peace, and joy, life in abundance. Comparing that with Satan who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he came to equip us to build the kingdom here on earth with him, through him, through our reconciliation with him and our cooperation with him, giving us purpose, meaning, and value, giving us authority, wisdom, and gifts with which to build. And then he compares that to what Satan's goal was, to deceive, to blind, and to control. Jesus came to do exactly the opposite. How did he start doing this? First of all, he worked on what we know as the disciples today. The disciples, he built them up. He showed them the things they needed to know in order to establish them in the kingdom of God for the future. We sung Jesus, be the center of it all. You're the first. You're the rock on which we stand. Our whole lives are established on you. And I loved it that somebody mentioned as well this morning, I think it was Dylan, when you were talking to us as a congregation, he mentioned the cornerstone. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Isaiah 26:16 says, therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Let me give you an idea of what a cornerstone is. Okay? I'm going to read this off for you because it's like too intelligent for me, so I'll read off the paper. In relation to architecture, a cornerstone is traditionally the first stone laid for a structure, with all other stones laid in reference. Historically, the cornerstone was the most important part of any building. The total weight of an edifice rested on this particular stone, which, if removed, would collapse the whole structure. The cornerstone was also the key to keeping the walls straight. The builders would take sightings along the edge of this part of the building. If the cornerstone was set properly, the stonemasons could be assured that all the other corners of the building would be at the appropriate angles as well. Thus, the cornerstone became a symbol for that which held life together. Wow. When Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives, everything else lines up. Everything else fits into place when he is the chief cornerstone of our lives. The first stone to be laid, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. The challenge, isn't it, to us is, what do I build my life on? Do I build my life on Jesus Christ, the rock of my salvation, the Word of God who was made flesh? Do I build my life? Do I make all my decisions based on his words? Or have I got my own opinion? Got my own belief about that? I don't agree with that. You know what? Yeah, I'm not sure we should actually build our Christianity on that kind of teaching. You and me remove the foundations, the building will collapse. The church today is being attacked at its foundations, in its belief structure. It is being eroded through sentimentality and all kinds of other stuff to undermine the foundations. So if that comes into the church will begin to crumble. So we have to watch what's coming into the church. It tries to undermine the foundations. So Jesus, it says in the Isaiah passage there where he is the chief cornerstone, he says, do not act hastily. In other words, if you're going to make a decision to do something, don't do it quickly. Make sure it lines up with the cornerstone. Do not act hastily. Jesus continues his restoration of all things by training the apostles, teaching them the things they need to know about the kingdom and how the kingdom works, how it is built. So he teaches them. He says in Ephesians 2, 19 to 21, now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and therefore of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. This is a circular letter. This letter would be passed through all the churches at Ephesus. So he's saying to them, your existence right now is because the foundations were laid through the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You and I are individually temples of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in us. So why do we even wonder why it is so important that he wants the foundations to be in place? Because his very existence here on earth by his Spirit is down to us. Because he lives in us. Now, if my life is going to rack and ruin and collapse in, Jesus has nobody to work through. So he tells me, Phil, get your foundations in place. I need you to build your life upon what I say, so that you will be able to stand when the storms come. And you won't find yourself collapsing. Please remember now that the apostles and the prophets, this passage of scripture is not saying that the apostles themselves were the foundations. It's talking about their teaching, what they taught, what Jesus taught them, the apostles teach the church. And the prophets were speaking over the church.
That's why in Acts 2:42 it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. You and I cannot live or build our lives on someone else's revelation. We have to get our own. So the responsibility for building our lives is on us personally, not on somebody else to make it happen for me. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to the teachings, and Jesus was saying, well, the wise man hears what I say and puts it into practice. The foolish person doesn't. So we have to put into practice what we are learning in Scripture in order to lay the foundations. So the apostles and the prophets in Ephesians laid the first foundations because Jesus had gone. The apostles and the prophets now were left with the teaching, Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all the things I have taught you. So it's handed down. The apostles and the prophets at that time, in that era, were handing down foundations in order to build the church. But this was not a one-off laying of foundations for eternity. What I mean by that is, guess what happened to the apostles and the prophets? They died. They died. They were no longer here. So if the foundations were down to them, they died. That's it. That's over, isn't it? Game over. So what God had to do was get the apostles and the prophets to teach the foundations to the church, raise the church up to a place of maturity so that they then could in turn start laying foundations for the generation to come. So this is passed on. Why did he have to do that? You see, you'd think, well, all right, well, if they wrote down all the teachings, surely that's enough. But how many of us actually understand that spiritual truth only comes through revelation, not intellectualism? You can read all the books you want, but without the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you still won't know what it means. There are theologians out there that could write you flipping dissertations and all sorts of stuff in the Bible, and they don't believe a word of it. But intellectually, they're fantastic. It has to be spiritually discerned. So every generation that was to come, God would raise up more people in order to impart the foundations. But he put the responsibility as well on the people that understood those foundations, had the revelation of them, to pass them on to whoever they met. Cyclical. The same as the universe. It keeps going around and around. Let me show you. Ephesians 4:11-16 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, this is not written as a one-off. Once we teach everybody, that's it. The body is mature. Why? Because every generation dies and moves on. So the generation that comes up has no idea and has to be taught again to lay the foundations in place for those people to flourish and mature in Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. We've heard this scripture so many times, and we're hoping you'll see a different perspective on it, right? From the fivefold ministry gift, equip the church. The church then goes about doing the work of the ministry and is called upon to do its part, to do its share. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It's cyclical. I'm getting into a little bit of a challenge in a minute, as I always do. I cannot, if there's no challenge with the Word of God, we may as well just, I don't know, watch a film or something. So the cycle of creation, the stars and the planets, all that's going on around there, it's no different for the body of Christ. The cycle of laying foundations and growing in maturity doesn't finish with one generation. It's meant to be handed on and passed down to the next generation. Our kids are being taught on healing right now. Why? So that they can grow into this truth and start to walk in it. They will grow up and they are going to have kids. Those kids won't have a clue. So they need to be taught, and foundations need to be laid in their life. And so it goes on and on until the Alpha becomes the Omega and wraps it all up. In Isaiah 61, you see Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do all this stuff. Preach, yeah? Heal the brokenhearted, all that kind of stuff. Then he goes on into verse 4 and he talks about the ones that he has reconciled, the ones who he has restored, and the ones who he has renewed. And he says, and they will rebuild, and they will restore, and they will renew. And the cycle goes on. And you and I are the result of one man, God man, coming into the world to reconcile all things back to himself, lay a foundation, teach that foundation to his group, and pass it on. And you and I are here today because that has taken place. And we are meant to pass that same thing on to the next generation. Now here's the really tough bit. In Hebrews 5, 9 to 14, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It's Hebrews 5, 9 to 14, and also, then I'm going to jump into Hebrews 6, 1 to 3. And I've mentioned about these foundational doctrines before. We've talked about it a lot. Repentance, faith, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Foundational doctrines. But look at what the writer in the book of Hebrews, look at the way he speaks to the church, to the believers in this letter. There is much more we would like to say about this. He's talking about Melchizedek. But it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teachers of others. Oof. Flipping heck. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Hebrews 6, 1 to 3. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance. Look at this. I mean, this is frightening for me, right? I'm not saying it necessarily about liberty, right? But I'm sure we could all listen to this. But I see it in the church in general, why churches are getting smaller and smaller and collapsing. There's a few that are thriving, but most are struggling. And I believe this is the reason why. The fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds, placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we'll move forward to further understanding. Oh, wow. 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 How grounded am I in those six foundational teachings? Could I teach someone? You've been in the faith so long now, you ought to be teachers. Teachers of what? Teachers of those basic foundational doctrines. And I, you know what? Don't throw your chairs at me now. This is God speaking, not me. I can disassociate myself with this whole thing here because it's the word of God, not me. The challenge to me is, can I sit down alongside somebody, put my arm around them, and teach them about what repentance from evil deeds is all about in the foundational teachings? What does it mean, faith towards God? What about baptisms? Can I teach somebody about baptism, water baptism, being baptized into Christ, Holy Spirit baptism, baptism into suffering? Can I teach somebody about all? Can I teach them what it means to lay hands on? What is that? Why is that there? Can I teach them about the resurrection of the dead? What takes place? Can I teach them about eternal judgment? You have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teachers of others. You and I have been chosen by God to lay those foundations in other people's lives. But if I don't know what those foundations are, how can I actually impart them into someone else? That's where the challenge comes. And I'll be honest with you, I get stuck on them. I get stuck on them at times. I'm thinking, we've had this Bible study on a Tuesday, and I've been there in the spotlight, and people are throwing questions at me. Graham Riley's getting better than Rob. They're throwing questions, but it's for a purpose. It's because we want to ask the right questions that people are probably thinking, what does this mean? What does that mean? And then we stand there and we try to answer these questions doctrinally. Why? So that people can get solid in the foundations. But I can tell you, it tests me big time. How well do I know them? I'm finishing on this now. 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 13, which is our foundational scripture. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work, each one's building will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. In other words, when we hit the trials and the fire comes, does our house fall or does it stand? Do we start to collapse or do we remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? It's a big, big challenge. I'm going to ask for, very quickly to finish, a few volunteers. And hopefully this is going to go really smoothly and quickly. Kobe will tell me off if he doesn't. Go on, some volunteers. I need 7 people. Thank you. Go on, Nick. Lovely. Gemma, don't you mess this up for me now, right? Nick, that's yours. Gemma? No, this is yours. Come on, I need, thank you, Ruth. Graham. It's yours. So Graham and Graham. 2 more.
Lovely. Althea. Right, and somebody else. Thank you, Ronnie. Right, if you've got a scripture, how are we going to do this? If you've got a scripture, I want you to stand here. Right, so I want, hang on, who's first? Nick. Gemma, have you got scripture? No. Who did I give one next to? Yeah. Who did I give one to? Ruth, wasn't it, first? Yep. Or was it Graham's that came out first, and then Ruth? Anyway, Graham, yeah? Graham there, Graham, and then Ruth at the other end. I want you to line up with it, Graham and Ruth, yeah? And face me. Nick, come over here, please, mate. You're here. Yeah, you're here. So, that's yours. You haven't got scriptures, right? So, Gemma, you were first out. You got a scripture. Who hasn't got a scripture? No, you're out of you three. You haven't got a scripture. Graham? So, Althea, you've got the end there. And Graham, come over here. Just stand over there. Right. How do we lay foundations? Oh, this is great. Come on, over there. Awesome. How do we lay foundations? First of all, I want you to do something. Nick is going to read out what's on his paper. Yeah? Then Gemma is going to go over to Nick, and you're going to give him your word. That's your word, okay? You read that to him. Okay. I'm going to lay it down at his feet over here on the left. You understand that?
Yeah.
No, you haven't got a scripture. Okay. Just read what's on the paper. Okay. Trust me. Then Ruth, once Gemma's laid her word down by there, I want you to tell Nick what you've got written down and lay it in front of him. Yeah? Then I want Graham, you give Nick his word after Ruth. Yeah? He can read out what's on there first. Then you tell him what you've got there. And then Graham, you tell him what you got and lay that down in front of him by there. And then Ronnie, stay with me, please. Ronnie, Nick is going to read that word out again, and you're going to tell him what you've got written on your paper. You're going to tell him that's what you're giving him, right? And you lay that down on the floor by here. And then Althea, you go up and you tell Nick what you've got written. Yeah? And you lay that down on the floor there. There's a reason why I'm doing this, right? And hopefully it's going to come across. Please pray for me. Right. Right, go on, Nick, go. The mic, sorry. Click switch, my problem.
I have a very important job interview, and I'm not sure I want to go through with it because I'm terrified I'll make a fool of myself and won't get it.
Gemma's advice.
Let's hope you get this job because I don't know what's going to happen to you if you don't.
Right.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths.
Now
Proverbs 3, 5 and 6.
Put it on the floor there. Okay. Yeah. Go on and read it again.
I have a very important job interview and I'm not sure I want to go through with it because I'm terrified I'll make a fool of myself and won't get it.
Graham.
Well, if you want my advice, you should consider whether you have what it takes or not before you do make a fool of yourself.
Right, put that on that side over there. Yeah? Great. Nick?
You sound like my last manager.
Graham, your answer. Go on.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13.
Right. Lay that in front of there now. By there. Going up that way. Yeah, good. Ronnie. Nick, read your word again. Nick, so yeah.
I have a very important job interview, and I'm not sure I want to go through with it because I'm terrified I'll make a fool of myself and won't get it.
Right, Ronnie.
Well, if you want me to be honest, you're not the most stable of people in these situations, so take a pill before you go.
Althea? You leave yours over here, yeah.
Fear not, for I am with you, but not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen. Right. Nick, you stay there. Guys, thank you very much. If you sit down. Right, so what happened there? Nick came to a crisis in his life. Yeah? He is not sure about what's happening in his life. He is feeling very shaky, very unstable, very insecure. Three people come up and give him some advice. Yeah? Some advice. Two came from his left side, one came over from the right. And three people came right in front of him. Nick has a choice now. He can turn to the left, or he can turn to the right. Yeah? Or he can look straight ahead and say, the Lord tell him, this is the way, walk in it. Yeah? Keep going forward. And Nick now has three paving stones on which he can walk forward, stable and secure on the rock of his salvation. Yeah? So he has the choice. Do I put my faith in God? Or do I listen to the advice of one of the 4,000 religions or the seven philosophies and try and build my life in one of those directions? This is the only sure way. Nick, thank you, mate. Thanks, Nick. So I want to bring this to the close now. If we can have the worship team up, please. So the challenge. Do I know enough in my walk with God to be able to do that for somebody? To lay a foundation for them to stand on, to give them a paving stone to be able to step onto? Or is my advice going to be, you know what, not sure whether you're going to do it or not? And yeah, worldly wisdom, yeah, which the Bible says is in fact demonic because it's inspired by the spirit of this world. My challenge to us, guys, do I know my beginning to my end of my Christian faith? Do I know my purpose? Yeah? Do I know my place, my position? Do I know my potential? Have I built my life on those solid foundations? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I am so aware in my own life, Lord, of those moments when I start to shake, when I start to question, when insecurity begins to try and well itself up inside me, when I don't focus my mind upon you, the author and the salvation, the author and the finisher of my salvation. When I start to lean to the left or start to look to the right and I'm not looking straight ahead of me, Lord, and I am not putting my feet upon the rock that you have given me through your word. Father, I'm so aware of that. Father, because of that, I pray for everyone here right now that you, Lord, will, by your Spirit, give us the wisdom and the revelation we need. Give us the understanding that we need to know this incredible hope that you have called us to. To know, Lord, the very inheritance that you have laid up for us in Jesus Christ, your Son. That we would know it and walk in it. And that, Lord, we would also know that there is a power at work within us right now. The same power that you, Father, exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead. And you are at work in us both to will and to do for your good pleasure. Let us know these things, Father. Help us to be responsible. Help us to be honest before you. Help us, Lord, to batter off all the guilt and the condemnation and all that rubbish that tries to come on us and just walk with you. And allow you to teach us.
that you, Lord, as we put our minds to be in renewed, Lord, that you would help us to prove what is that perfect, acceptable will of God in our lives. Father, take us forward, Lord. And may we not become blasé and flippant about the foundational truths of our faith, because they are under attack right now from this world. May we stand strong in them, immovable in them, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name.